house of the Lord, to come together to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to give him the praise that is due unto him. If you don't mind, please keep in prayer these people that we prayed for, Mr. Robert, Mr. Leonard, and Zoe. And I know you're probably saying, who's Zoe? That's Andrew's friend that needs a healing. And if God doesn't heal, they will have an early death. You know what I'm saying, talking about? So we need God to move. And we're in the day and age where God said he paid the price at Calvary's cross, people. You know, we want people, yes, we have to die because of what Adam and Eve did not obeying God and eating of that fruit. But yet we don't want an early death for believers. We don't want early death. We want them to die. We want to die at the right timing and at the right place where God has ordained for us to. If you would, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 6, please. Just Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to look at some verses there. Genesis chapter 6. Let's make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. You know, you can read throughout Scripture how greatly God moved. God has moved upon the Scriptures from the beginning of time in Genesis. How God greatly moved. You can see throughout the Scriptures how God greatly moved upon men and women, boys, girls. You can see how God greatly used his son Jesus in moving upon people's hearts and lives and changing their lives and bringing healing. And you can see all the way down to Revelations to the end where the power of God moved upon the earth and God is still moving today. We see all that happening. And we see that our God is a great God. And look, we should never limit what God can do. Because he is a great God, no matter what. Before God moves, usually, greatly, he always finds someone to move through. Examples could be, before the killing of the giant, Goliath, God moved upon David. You see, God doesn't react to something that happens. God always reacts before or does things before the situation comes up. You know, sometimes we don't know as life goes on things that will happen. You know, you get a phone call, something tragic happens, you know, you react, oh my Lord, whatever. God doesn't react like that. He knows everything. Amen. He prepares things before things might happen. He gets things ready before things might happen. Just like with David, God raised up David to kill the giant so that Israel would be free from that mongrel giant there. Before all Israelites were to be killed, who did he raise up? Esther. Esther, a great woman of God, should not have been queen at all. But God raised her up for such a time as that because he knew he needed her to take that rightful position to be able to go before the king to save the nation of Israel and to save God's people. Let me tell you this, God knows how to put certain people in certain places at certain times for his church and for his people. Yes. That's the kind of God we serve that can go before us and take care of things before we even get there. Amen. God Almighty is that kind of God. Before his shadow healed people, God raised up Peter. God raised up Peter. Can you imagine? You know, Peter didn't just go out and say, hey, I want my shadow to heal people. That's an amazing thing. You ever read that in the scripture? As he was just walking by, you wanted to be on the shadow side. The cool side. Ooh, okay, yeah. The shadow side, where that shadow would pass over you and that the people were healed instantly by the power of Almighty God, because that's what God wanted to do. You see, God raised up Peter to help the Israelites. And before all, we were all sinful and evil. God raised up a man called Jesus to come and take the sins of the world away from us. God raised up Jesus to come and pay the price on Calvary's cross so that we could be free from evil. We could be free from the evils of this world, excuse me. That we could be free from the power of the enemy. That's the kind of God we serve. Throughout the scriptures, people, God has raised up men and women to take their rightful position in order to save mankind, in order to help mankind, so that mankind could come closer and closer to Christ. It was always to help the Israelites, to help God's people, to help the beggar on the side of the road, to help the beggar, whoever it was. But he did whatever he could to raise up people to help the church. And we're going to be looking at another guy that God raised up in order to save mankind from destruction. Noah, a great man of God. But before we talk about Noah, it says that God created Adam and Eve in Genesis 1 and 2. Excuse me. God created Adam and Eve. God wouldn't have had to raise up Noah if Adam and Eve would have done what was right. But God has to raise up people to do something godly for him. Because of mistakes of other people. God is looking for people like you and I to raise up, to proclaim the gospel to this lost and dying generation. God is looking for boys and girls, men and women that will not back down, but will stand up and say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Christ. And he is the only one that can help us to get through the things that we need to get through. God created Adam and Eve in Genesis 1 and 2. It's amazing how he took the dirt from the ground, formed it, laid out man upon the ground. And it says that he breathed into him, into his nostrils. That's an amazing statement there. You ever thought about it? When they're trying to resuscitate people, you know, the mouth, and he breathed into the nostrils. Most philosophers or people believe that what happened was there's life in the blood, that when he breathed into the nostrils, that what he was breathing into Adam was the blood of life that flowed into his body. God is such a gracious God. God saw that Adam needed a helper. He put him to sleep and he took the rib on the side and formed Eve. How gracious is God that he will do whatever it takes to make sure the church, the body of Christ, you and I are taken care of. No matter what. How many times have we seen God take the time to supply for us? How many of us have been on skid row at times and said, Lord, if you don't move in this situation, I don't know what to do. And God comes through and he takes care of the finances, or he takes care of whatever wisdom. He takes care of whatever it needs to be taken care of, because that's the kind of God you serve. You don't serve him because of what you can get out of him. You serve him because he is your God, your Lord, your Savior, because you love him. but he takes care of his people. That's the kind of God we serve. By the time we get to chapter 6, from Adam to Noah, they say it's about 1,656 years, that span of time. We're going to read some verses that are a little scary, I guess if you want to say it that way, kind of touchy. But it's some sad situation how we go from Adam, where God miraculously made him, all the way down to Noah. And we know Noah was the one that God chose to build the boat, the big ark. 1,656 years span from the beginning of creation, not the beginning of the earth or the atmosphere, anything like that. From the beginning of Adam to Noah was 1,656 years. And that time span, mankind had become so wicked that it says in Scripture, and we're going to read it, that every thought and intention of the heart was evil. Now, can you think of that? Just think of this. And we just play it like this. From the time you got up in the morning to right now, every thought you would have had would have been evil. I mean, that's kind of rough. Well, that's what he's talking about. He's saying every intention of the heart was evil. They wanted to murder, kill, all kinds of other things that were not good. Anything evil, that's what came out of them. Look at Genesis chapter 6. Look at this. And look at what verse you have up, starting with. Go with 6, verse 4. 6, 4. And it says, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. And we'll stop there and we'll get to verse 8 in a minute. Here we see that God says what happened was, we know that there was a great rebellion against God, which was fallen angels. They were all angels. God created all angels good from the beginning of time. Lucifer was in charge. That was his name God gave him, to be in charge of the earth. And he wanted to be above God. And God told him no. And a third of the angels sided with him. A third. That means two-thirds are still with God. That's what he created in angels. What parts of these fallen angels came and were abiding with women upon the earth. And they were having children. And what they called them were giants. Or they called them a mongrel race. That means they were giants, 9 feet tall. I mean, but what happened was they were part angelic and part human. And that's why God said every intention of their heart was evil, because they were fallen angels that had children with women upon the earth, and it was destroying the human race. And the devil knew, now this is it, the devil knew that the Messiah would have to come somehow through the human race. So what he was trying to stop was that Jesus, the Son of the living God, could not be born of woman. And so what he was trying to stop was the redemption of mankind. Look. And if Satan could stop the redemption of mankind, he could stop us from receiving Christ as Lord, and we would live in sin forever and ever. So Christ, that's why God the Father let the whole earth be covered in water to destroy everything. And the only ones that could go in the boat were the ones that received him as Christ and Lord. God raised up Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You see, it doesn't matter how bad things look in the world. You know, if you want to say that way. God will always raise up a man or a woman to take the gospel and to do what is right. You might say, well, you know, couldn't God have just spoken it and a boat would have been? Yes, he could have. But because of grace and mercy, God took 97 years or so, about 97 to 100 years, for Noah to build that boat. And as Noah and his three sons, his wife, and his three daughter-in-laws, as they would go out and chop the wood, the trees down, cut the trees, make the wood how it had to be, the gopher wood, put it upon the boat, put pitch between, and build that boat so it could carry all these animals and all eight of them for safety. All that time of 97 to 100 years, Noah and his family preached the gospel, hoping that someone would come to repentance. But it did not happen. You see how merciful God is? How merciful God is that he will take all that time. Because you think he wanted all, because it wasn't the whole planet like that, but a lot of it was. The angels and the women. And it became a mongrel race. It destroyed the human race. And so God had to clean it up again. After only 1,600 years or so, God came in. You see, let me tell you this. God will raise a man or a woman up every time it's needed. God is trying to raise you up to be the man or the woman that God wants you to be, so you could declare the word of God to the people that you meet. There are people you can meet and associate with that I can't. Well, you know, that's the preacher's job, to get out there and preach the gospel. Well, yeah, I guess so. But it's everybody's job to herald forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because there are people in your family that will listen to you. They won't listen to me. There are people that you rub shoulders with, that friends and family, that will listen a little bit to you. And you can share with them that the only door to heaven, the only door is Christ, is Jesus Christ. To open yourself up and receive him as Lord and Savior. Look at these scriptures. Look at this. Look at verse 5. No, let's go to 8. But Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. And Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. Noah found grace, people. God loves us so much that he will look for people that have a heart for him. He's not looking for a perfect people, because no one can be perfect. But he's looking for a people that have a heart for him, that will say, look, I will do whatever you want me to do. That doesn't mean, you know, we're not shaking in our shoes or whatever, you know. But we'll do and we'll pray and we'll seek God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace is the goodness of God extended to an undeserving people. You know, and I didn't know this, when it talks about grace, Noah is the first place in the Bible where it's mentioned grace. Know that, because you never know. You might win something. You know, when you're listening, and I want to ask you a question, you know, where in the Bible, you know, was grace first mentioned? And you can hurry up and call, and you might win that trip to Hawaii. You never know. You never know, you know, because God wants us to study and understand his word. Noah loved God. He walked with God. Scripture plainly says in Revelation 22:17, that whosoever will can come unto him. Every person is a free moral agent. Consequently, God extends grace or withholds grace on the premise of what that person wants. God will give grace to whoever wants grace. God will hold back grace on whoever doesn't want the grace. God is looking for people. God came to Moses and said, I want you to go tell the people that I'm the great I am. Who do I tell them you are? He said, tell them I'm the great I am. People, tell people he's the great I am. He's the great I am that can give you what you need. He's the great I am that can supply for your needs. He's the great I am that can come in and give you what is needed upon in your heart and in your life. That's the power of Almighty God. That's the power of Almighty God. You know, forgiveness. We need to forgive whatever happens in our lives. I know how it is to be so severely hurt by someone or some people. Hey, life comes with some hurt sometimes, huh? Life comes with some hurt sometimes. But that's okay. Well, you got to forgive. Amen. You know, you might say, you know, Pastor, sometimes, you know, I heard somebody say this. Well, you know, if I think of that person, I just want to get rid of them. I understand. And then I heard a preacher say, if you can think of that person that hurt you severely and you can have good thoughts towards them, you've come a long way. But I know at times, because of hurt, scars are there. Huh? You know, somebody says something negative to you or something that just penetrates the heart. You just want to turn around and clobber them. You just want to beat them up. I mean, you just really want to sometimes. You know? Come on, God. Okay, y'all in church. You have to say the truth. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. But you turn away and you say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them. Because you see, you get so angry at somebody and you can't forgive them. You're thinking about that all the time. You're struggling. It keeps you from sleeping sometimes, huh? And all, and then you realize this, that that other person, they're not even thinking about you.
That's right.
I mean, that's the truth. You're thinking about them all the time and what you wish you would have said and what you wish you would have done and what you wish. And you're saying, Lord, just let me meet up with him or her again. And, you know, I'll be able to. No. What you do is you go to the Lord and say, Father, help me to treat him or her like you've treated me.
Yes, amen.
You say, Lord, oh, how you've treated me. And we know God has been good to every one of us, no matter what. Some of us, he's took out of drugs and alcohol and all kinds of immorality and evil. God has just done miraculous things for us. And how much more should we forgive? Take the forgiveness of God. Don't hold that over. Don't hold unforgiveness over somebody's head. It will destroy you. But I tell you what, release it to God. Say, God, I give it to you. I'll give it to you. I give it to you. I give it to you. I give it to you. Lord, help me to treat that person the way you have treated me. The goodness of God is what causes people to repent. We like to pass them up and hit their table and, you know, just hit them. But we can't do that. You pass that table and you say, how you doing, sir? And I know it comes at levels maybe. Because the more severe the hurt, the longer it may take. But I tell you what, you get under the surgery table of your God. And you go to him and you keep going before him. And let me tell you, he'll turn that scar into, maybe it might be a scar forever, but it will be a badge to say, look what God has done. I have forgiven. I can go on and I can forgive. That's what God, you know, the Bible says what, to forgive what? 70 times what? Seven. Why didn't he say 70 times one? You know, that would have been 70 instead of 490 times in a day. Now, if that person can do that much to us, or we can do that much to somebody else in one day, that's a lot. So we got to do everything we can to keep things right before God, before man. Let me tell you, God will raise up people to help you in your life. And let me tell you, God is looking for you to take up the banner. Let him use you. Let him use you in ministry. Let him use you in whatever capacity, whatever way. Say, Lord, open the doors for me. Show me what you want, Lord. And God says he'll raise you up. No matter what, he raised up, like I talked about, all these, Esther and David and Jesus and Peter and all these, and Noah, how God raised up these men for such a time that they needed that person in their life to do what God wants. God's the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. So if he worked like that yesterday, and he works like that today, he's going to work like that tomorrow. He's looking for men and women that will hold up the banner of righteousness and will do what he calls them to do. Let God be God in your heart and in your life. You might say, well, how do I do that? Call out to him. You know, some people say, well, you have to be on your knees. Not necessarily so. Some may like to pray like that. Some like to pray in their lazy boy chair, in their vehicle. It doesn't matter. To me, just humble yourself and say, Lord, your will be done, not my will. Your will be done, Lord, not my will. Let God's will be done in your heart and in your life. And you will see that God will bring you to places that you never thought that he would do. I'm telling you, in ministry, in life, because he's saying that's a willing vessel. That's a willing vessel. Let me use him. Let me raise him up to help somebody else. Can you imagine that God wants to raise you up to help somebody else? To maybe bring them to the kingdom of God? Maybe to help further the kingdom of God? Praise God that He counts us worthy to be called in that area. Don't think you've ever gone too far that God cannot forgive you. No. Until you take your last breath and you're 6 feet under, you have time. Call upon Him and let Him do what He needs to do. Our God is real.
Yes.
He's real. He's not some fake imaginary thing like Santa Claus or, there's no kids here, Santa Claus or... Well, you know, you might say, well, why do you say that, Pastor? Because I don't think it's my responsibility to tell you what to teach your children, what's real and not. I don't think that's my responsibility in your home like that. You know, some teach that, some don't. But, you know, God is real. Jesus is real. And the Holy Spirit is real. And you know what? He's coming back for His church, for His people. Amen. You can stand, please. Thank you.